call this meeting of the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. Meeting scheduled for 1:30 today to be jointly with the Legislation Committee to take up a proposed local law. And everyone should have agendas before them. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, and I'm opening the meeting of the Legislation Committee. We have a quorum with Legislator Burrows, who was here. I assume he's coming back since he left his briefcase. Legislators Burton, Ryan, Frieda Williams, and Chair Ken Jenkins. So, if we can start, I think what we wanted to talk about today was positions and numbers and organizational chart and
okay.
You know, get an idea of what we're talking about is potential savings.
Okay. Why don't you talk first about what we have done already?
Yeah. Why don't you go over some numbers?
Okay. Okay.
Commissioner, as you go through this, I wonder if where the opportunity presents itself. I know that you know you've done a good job over the years, and other commissioners before you, in alerting us to how the size, the scale of public works has reduced over the last couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
It was very large at one point years ago, and over the years it's gotten smaller and smaller. And one of the concerns that we have is from time to time we know that there's been some juggling going on trying to figure out on a ladder of priorities, what do we really need to get done, because we're not able to do everything perhaps at one time. And that point hasn't been missed on us when you presented it to us. The department taking on new responsibilities, it's been, for a short period of time thus far, but to do it permanently, just your assessment, your view as commissioner as to whether or not that's something that you're going to be able to sustain given the current size of the department.
Okay. Transportation in the 2010 operating budget has 55 positions in the operating budget for this year. In the 2011 proposed budget that's been submitted to the county executive, we're proposing to have 36 positions in next year's operating budget.
36?
36. It's a reduction of approximately a third. Okay? It's 34%. Of the 36 positions in the 2011 budget, over half of them, approximately 21 positions, are either partially or 100% funded by grants. We have the subregional grant, we have the smart community grant, we get quite a bit of grant funding from New York State DOT and FTA. So let me give you the breadth of what we're actually running.
What's the FTA?
Federal Transit Administration. Federal Transit Administration.
Okay. Commissioner, and you said how many in 2010 were budgeted for?
55 positions.
Thank you. And how many of those were grant?
Same number, approximately 21 of the positions are grant funded. Okay. We didn't really touch the grant funded positions in 11 because, quite frankly, if you eliminate the grant, you don't get the funding, so therefore you're not doing any justice to yourself. There are three components in transportation. There's the planning component, which is primarily funded by the state. It's called the Subregional Planning Grant, which we've had for millenniums. There's another program called Smart Commute, which was part of the Clean Air Act to reduce driving and to encourage mass transit. The planning function must continue in order for the county to receive federal funds for both transit and highway. The planning function also serves on the Mid-Hudson South Transportation Coordinating Committee, which is the brokering agency for all federal funds in this region. Other members on the Mid-Hudson South Committee include the New York State DOT, includes Metro North, New York State Thruway, Putnam County, Rockland County. So these are the major players in this region, which is the Lower Hudson region. The second component is the bus operations. The bus operations this year, the operating budget is around $130 million for bus operations, most of which it's used to subsidize, manage, administer, repair, and all those other things that keep the rolling stock moving. We have an agreement with Liberty Lines to run that service until 2012. The third component is the airport component. The airport component has an operating budget this year of approximately $45 million. With that, the department is very active in managing the FAA grant-funded portion of that. as well as working with TSA to ensure that we are in full compliance with current TSA requirements and with Homeland Security, of which we get grants from Homeland Security to use at the airport. The airport is run by an operator. I think their name currently is Airport Associates, but it's basically the same people. It's Peter Scheer and his group. They just keep getting sold because they're valuable. They keep getting sold as assets to other organizations. So when you look at the number of positions that we're proposing to operate this multi-million dollar facility and the fact that more than half are funded by outside sources, clearly you're getting a bang for your buck on this one. In terms of the organization structure, previously Larry Solly was the commissioner and his deputy was Harry Stanton, both of whom have retired. The administration has allowed me to backfill the deputy's position, and we're currently processing Patty Shemka, but I'm sure that everybody knows Patty's been around for many, many, many years. She's very good at what she does. And Rich Stiller, who is Mr. Bus Route, who could have retired 10 years ago, has continued to serve, and I'm promoting him to assistant commissioner. So the third individual who's part of my management team is Bill Leverance. He's been director of administrative services for the B-Line for 10 or 15 years. So the only burden on the Department of Public Works is on me, because basically I work with these three individuals. I, in terms of my workload, it's made it more exciting because obviously on the bus side and the airport side is more public, and therefore there's more opposition or more complaints or comments from external forces as opposed to internal. Clearly, we've gone through the issue of the MTA fare increase and, you know, bus service costs, the express bus from Yonkers and White Plains. So clearly, there is an emotional aspect of the job in terms of public hearings and public outreach. So, so there's obviously more nighttime meetings to elicit comments. Under the O'Rourke administration, for those that have been around, I was the deputy commissioner of transportation under Joe Petroselli. And many of the people that work at DOT today I hired, so I know
despite that they're still there.
and I'm very familiar with Metro North and all the various state agencies, so it's almost like homecoming week. There's no everybody knows me. They didn't think I left. So in terms of whether you in fact keep the name transportation, we'll just take these 36 individuals and put them under DPW. It's really irrelevant. I think the positions that we have are adequate to operate efficiently. The transportation component, the three components that I alluded to previously. There are some consolidations that we are planning in the future. Transportation, one of which is the information agents. When we started the endeavor with information agents, it was always a manual system. You'd call up for any bus information, and we would field approximately 80 to 90,000 calls manually with, during its peak, about 9 or 10 operators. We operated that service from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., typically 6 days a week. However, you know, in recent years, we've implemented the automated system with all of our routes, as everybody else has. It's on an automated basis. So currently, of the 80,000 calls approximately that we get a year, we're handling 90% of the calls through the automated system. So we're handling 10,000 calls now. So clearly, technology has played a role in reducing the manpower. And I think we're looking at that function to further automate or perhaps abolish it at some point. We're getting less and less calls. We've already reduced the hours that we manned the stations by virtue of retirements that we've had in that area. So that is one area that we think that there's future possibilities for consolidation. We, next year's budget, I think we have three or four positions left from its heydays of approximately 8 or 9 positions. In terms of the remaining staff is primarily in doing oversight over all the various funding agencies, Federal Transit, TSA, Homeland Security. We are routinely audited by FAA, by FTA, to account for all the federal funds that the county receives on behalf of the system. And as you know, with federal dollars comes all kinds of reporting requirements. Clearly, if in fact we did not perform that function, we would, first of all, jeopardize our ability to get federal funds. Secondly, we'd be subject to major penalties if, in fact, we were not in compliance with the various federal guidelines. And each agency has their own particular guidelines. So a good part of our staff time is devoted toward complying with the various federal agencies who are the sponsors of our various grants.
Okay. Chairman Jenkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, thank you for the breakdown. In our 2010 budget, there's 20 grant positions that are funded. I'm looking at the budget. So,
okay.
So are you proposing to keep that 20, or is it you're going to increase it to 21?
I work with, that range, 20, 21. Again, some of the grants have the flexibility of having the person perform the work and therefore charge them off to a grant. So there is some flexibility in those areas.
I understand. No.
Okay.
And your testimony, and thank you for sharing it that way, is that basically we could eliminate a commissioner, right?
Yes.
By merging that and keeping, if we just moved all the positions that you're proposing for 2011 under the Department of Public Works, under the three sub-functions that you mentioned, you'd be able to run it, and we'd be running without another commissioner, basically.
Right, which is the way the 11 budget is budgeted. We show the commissioner's time, but it's not funded.
Okay, so
we show the executive secretary, but it's not funded.
So basically, we could eliminate this as a legislative thing to eliminate the department, and it would be consistent with what is already being thought of.
Right, in the next year's proposed operating budget.
Well, my question quickly, if I can interrupt, since George is here, does the administration have a position one way or the other about?
No, because it's kind of de facto happened. Mm-hmm. You know, what was proposed is when John took over as acting at transportation, as the early retirement worked out. In some respects very well, because it took some of the upper management that was there for the retirement. So, it's kind of there. The only concern we might have is in terms of some of the grants, whether you have to have, quote-unquote, a Department of Transportation. But in all likelihood, we could certainly call it a Bureau of Transportation under the Department of Public Works. So, but I mean, basically, we're pretty much there, right?
But it might make sense to have the our charter or laws mirror the facts.
True. Yes, it's true. That would be a logistical issue. Yeah. You know, I've known the state people for 30 years. They look for my signature. So whether I sign as transportation commissioner or public works, I don't think it's really much of an issue.
Thank you, because that was consistent with the question that for the planning, did it have to remain in the Department of Transportation, or it just have to be a function that we still execute?
It has to be a function that we have to execute.
That's right. So the department name is not relevant. So,
correct.
So that would be the case. What would we have to do, Commissioner, to be able to analyze and determine whether or not those things would need to be done from a logistic perspective as far as sending whatever agreements or modifying the agreements with whoever they are to reflect that it would be the Department of Public Works as opposed to the Department of Transportation.
Right. We just call Department of Public Works Bureau of Transportation or something, some subset of Public Works. Okay. And that would be a notification to the state. It'd be the state controller's office. But clearly we can have the awards addressed differently. I don't think that's really an issue. And for a time being, I could sign it as acting commissioner of transportation until such time as we get the logistical issue on record with the state controller so that they don't bounce our checks or bounce our invoices.
Okay. And again, thank you, Mr. Orris, for saying again that in the proposal, it is planned that the positions aren't funded.
Correct.
But then, by legislative action, we would be eliminating the department, which would be the right thing to do. It, no matter what other proposals that may be out there right now, is a similar.
Correct.
But
in reality, that's going to happen this way. So whatever the board does,
that's very
good. Just legitimize what in fact is going to occur next year.
Mr. Rudowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, it seems then one way, handling very quickly, is just simply say we now will have 2011 Department of Public Works and Transportation. And we just add it so transportation stays. Any question? There is a Department of Transportation, but it's Public Works and Transportation, Public Works. We don't do it.
Right, as you notice in Public Works, I list divisions, road maintenance, garage.
Yeah,
it's
form over substance, but that's. Right. What it is, just call it Department of Public Works and Transportation rather than it disappearing, because transportation is a big part of what we do, the buses and the airport, I mean, it's there, people just going through Westchester County, you know, for me personally, it'd be nice to have transportation in the, you know, tile so someone could find it, otherwise they may be looking around,
right.
So I mean, that's just a very quick and dirty suggestion, but it's...
Yep. Slash transportation. Just
public works and transportation, vice versa.
Yeah.
But I have on a more substantive note, I mean, that's just all form. I mean, over the years, DOT has performed certain functions. The customer service, you talked about the technology and handling the calls, and that's fine. I mean, I can follow that.
Yes.
But you are, by keeping all the grant positions, we're down, the math was, what, 21, 30?
Yeah, possibly 20, 20. 21. Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll do this either at the budget time or we get it hit now. Six or seven or eight or nine were customer service people answering the phones.
Right, as they retire, we have not filled the position.
Right, but there's still another 12. What's missing?
We have possibly four left.
Okay, no, but you're letting, well, there's 20 fewer employees, 20, 22.
Okay.
What won't be done next year? Or what's being, are other jobs being, you know, doubled up? Where, what's...
Doing more with less.
Doing more with less. Okay. That sounds good.
So we retired Brett Favre and some of the guys who hang up the spikes. So that's
watch what you say.
Wow.
Watch what you say.
Brett Favre keeps coming back.
But the areas, and again, we don't have to do it until maybe you can submit for the record. I don't know if you did submit a table of organization, but there's eight or nine.
The organization chart has not changed.
So customers are,
but there are
functions if there's...
I'll give you an example.
Yeah, there's another 16 or 17 jobs out there that are going, well, take Harry out, take Larry out.
The airport had John Murray, it had Rob Nikita. I'm doing that with Don Prof. All right.
Okay.
I never felt that you needed two full-time people in that position anyway.
No,
That was airport funded, but it's part of DOT's headcount within the 55.
Right. But to the extent they were... Okay, well, all right, so...
For instance, the procurement side, Mike Bluestone and Bob Redd have both retired. Okay. We don't have a major procurement until 2014.
So back office functions, if I can ask, any kind of PR you're doing, back purchasing, HR stuff, budgeting... Public Works folks, the budget, your budget guy in Public Works could take over
some of the graphic positions of people that have retired, and we now have IT doing the graphics for us. So we've done the consolidation, sharing our services with other departments that have the ability to do so without actually hiring our own people.
I think the proof is, Marty, that we have a number of people leave in June and July, and, there's really not been...
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to figure out, what's going to make... So, bottom line, as long as DOT has a lot more outreach to the public than Public Works. So in terms of, a lot of the airport operations are non-county employees, but airport, mostly bus lines, you're satisfied that from a customer service perspective, and vis-a-vis Westchester County, there's no big impact.
Right. We're still responding to all the customer complaints. We still follow up on everything. Right. So clearly those are part of our operating. For instance, we eliminated our receptionist and we sent the information over to our secretary. So things like that.
Right.
The procurement issue, as I said, we don't have another major procurement until 2014, at which point I will go out and hire someone who will procure whatever bus I need for that six-month period, as opposed to having someone on staff waiting for the procurement to happen.
Yeah. Well, it goes to the fund. Now, you see, you keep your grant people, but at the end of the day, we were in the past buying 30, 40, 50, 80 buses and all the capital projects. You have that in Public Works, but to the extent on the DOT side, dealing with FTA, FHA, or you'll cover all those grants. You'll
correct.
Be able to,
and if in fact a lot of agencies do not have in-house procurement people, they hire contractors, consultants to do the procurement.
We'll go that way.
We'll go that way. So basically, rather than have someone sit there on your payroll for the entire year waiting for work to happen, since I don't have a procurement for at least 3 years, a major procurement, that would be the articulated buses.
Mm-hmm.
That I would hire a consultant. I mean, people do this. A lot of the major transit operators hire consultants that specialize in this kind of work, as opposed to having someone on staff for 3 years waiting for the procurement to happen.
Collecting a pension.
And finally, Mr. Chairman, so then in terms of the airport operations, again, the with all the noise and all the issues going on there.
Nothing has changed, the airport operations.
Airport operation, you haven't affected Pete Scheer, any of the employees working with
that? No. Pete Scheer, zero tax levy. And
who will the airport person report to in terms of going up to you? Is there a deputy
to
over that?
Patty
will be the person direct responsible.
He'll go inside everything unless something happens. And I talk to Pete all the time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner, Mr. Rogowski brought up, I think, a very good point and certainly a concern to all of us, and that is over the years we've come to know transportation as a kind of a grant-heavy mm-hmm. operation, mm-hmm. and our interest, obviously, and yours is seeing that there's kind of like a seamless transition. I know that operationally a lot of things have changed. I guess the thing that, or have already been transferred, but the thing that I'm going to inquire about is, since the transfer of many or all of these functions, has there been a lot of action, any action in the area of grant application? And I bring up one thing in particular. I know that as chairman of Public Works, I'm alerted to the fact that the National Clean Diesel Program, there's an expectation of about $60 million going to be made available in 2011. And just generally, you know, just the promotion of transportation in the county, idling and that kind of stuff.
Well, we submitted, and Katie can maybe help me out here. We did submit for hybrid buses a grant application through the feds.
Appropriations.
Right. I don't know that we got it, but
we
followed up, but you know, right now they're not flush with cash either at this point.
This will be an RFP that will come out from EPA in November. Okay. So I'm just kind of prospectively looking at it, and it caught my eye because it focuses on the idling reduction technologies, which you know we've talked about here because of the law, and also some things, some of the buses are public safety vehicles and the like. They need power sources on board without having to rely on the gasoline engine continuing to operate. And I know that the RFP is going to talk about alternative power systems and something called APUs, which are auxiliary power units on board vehicles, which police cars and them performing functions, they want the car off, but they want power available for the technology that they're going to be utilizing as they remain in a position or on a post. So, that, needless to say, I mean, it's an area that a large suburban urban county like Westchester would be interested in, and I only bring it as an example of something that will come up shortly in a few weeks, and to ensure that as the operations have already, for the most part, I guess, been transferred, mm-hmm. Can we pretty much be assured that with respect to our participation in the grants, we're going to be current and up to date and doing the things that Public Works and Transportation have been doing for years
right.
as a separate unit.
Right. The grant component of planning mm-hmm. is relatively intact. The same people that are there are continuing to be there. We're actively pursuing all kinds of grants. As you know, we have the BRT grant that the board recently approved. Mm-hmm. And again, that's an initiative to working with Greenberg, with White Plains, and with Yonkers. And again, that's a $2.4 million state. It's a multimodal grant for the state. So clearly, we attend all of the meetings. We're in the brokering process. We have, as you know, we've secured over $40 million for Crane Road through this process. So we're actively involved. The people that actually participate in this function are still the same people. They have not retired. If anything, we've outlived some of the state people who've retired, so actually we have an advantage because we're still around. But no, we're actively, you know, every grant that is possible that has utility to the county would save the taxpayers' dollars we're pursuing, predicated on the county executive signing off on the policy whether he wants to go and initiate that kind of a request. But clearly, no, nothing's going to fall through the gap. On the equipment procurement side, Michael Raj, Joe Sine, those guys do most of the procurement. They'll look at the technology. We work with NYPA on a lot of that stuff. So anything that we're not familiar with, we'll call NYPA and say, we wear this technology, because they're at the leading edge too. So so clearly, yeah, we have the network. I've consolidated some of the transportation issues into my monthly meeting with NYPA. We have an initiative at the airport with NYPA, which is to bring natural gas to all the terminals, to all the hangars. And again, that was previously an initiative that transportation wanted. So I just fold that in with my monthly meetings with them that I have with Public Works. So basically, all I've done is added another column or added another page to what I already do, because we interact with all the same people anyway.
Mm-hmm. Jack, some questions.
Thank you.
I have some questions.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll come back. Is that okay?
Yeah,
unless you have a quick
second time.
All right.
The 19 positions that are being eliminated, do you have any a number on what that savings is?
Yeah.
I don't, but most of them have been realized in this year because they were, most of them were retirement. I think that the retirements of the 19, and you know, there was an issue of whether the position was eliminated. It wasn't eliminated with budget, but there's only about five positions being proposed for eliminations where there is actually a person.
Someone is
correct. The others were positions that were left vacant by retirements, early termination, separation, or someone who left of their own volition.
Right. Of the 36 the remaining, can you give a breakdown of the three components you mentioned, where they fall as opposed to the planning, bus, airport?
Well, the one thing that duplicates all three lines is the administrative controls.
Okay, so who's in administrative controls?
It's Bill Leverance. He's Director of Administrative Services.
Right.
And his unit crosses all three lines. He audits all three firms.
Right.
And also he does the accounts payable, accounts receivable, and all the reporting to the FTA. I would say, and I'm guessing, so I'm going to give you the organization chart, but I would say he's probably around 10, 11 positions. If you see some cross connections, on the airport side, there's only three people: Donna Prof, Patty, and myself doing that function. And the balance of it would be on the planning side. The planning side.
How about the bus side?
The bus side is probably six or seven people.
Yeah. Mm.
Keep in mind that I also have a field component of about four people that actually does snow removal on bus stops, make sure the bus stop signs are done.
That's a DPW function or
no,
transportation?
No, as a transportation. It's, they're specifically dedicated. There are approximately 1,200 bus stops throughout the county.
Yeah.
In the winter months, they also do snow removal where passengers have a hard time stepping off the curb. So on the bus side, with the administrative and the field people, it's probably about a dozen. So you're looking at about a dozen for buses, the administrative side's about a dozen, and the rest is between planning airports, basically Patty, myself, and Donna. But I give you the organization chart, you know, budget's asked for it. It's in the operating budget submission that the board will get shortly.
Now, is there any positions being eliminated or not filled on the DPW side that correspond to some of these, like administratively or something like that?
Well,
or audit. For instance, you got 10 or 11 people on the accounts payable, accounts receivable, administrative services. Is there any overlap with work that could be done in DPW?
No. Keep in mind that when you think about DPW in terms of the sheer numbers of people, this year's operating budget, DPW had 291 positions, plus or minus one or two, because I know Ken's looking it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, plus or minus one or two. You know, I do round numbers.
293.
293, okay, somewhere, you know. And in next year's budget, the headcount is down to... is around 230 in that number, between 220 and 230. We have, from the retirement incentive, probably 17 to 20 people that took it. The balance would be layoffs. The function that's performed at DPW, administrative people, the functions are totally different than DOT. DOT's budget, even though its headcount is significantly smaller than DPW, DPW's operating budget is $80 million. If you add up both the buses and the airport, you're talking about $170, $180 million budget with one-tenth of the size. So the reporting that they do with DOT is very specific to the federal agency's requirements, so they're analyzing different things. No, there isn't any consolidation, and in order to get the DPW number down significantly, I took a major reductions in administrative staff and support staff.
Now, as far as what's left in transportation, of the senior positions, how many deputy commissioners, how many?
One deputy is being promoted, Patty. One assistant, which is Rich Stiller, and Bill Leverance is a director of administrative services. He's a grade 16. Everybody else.
And what did you have before? This year, they're proposed.
We had Larry Solly was a 20 commissioner, Harry Stanton was a 17 deputy, and Bill Leverance has always been in his position. So basically, yeah.
So you're going to have an assistant commissioner. That
correct.
You have before.
Keep in mind that what I've done is that the administration has agreed for an upgrade. So basically, the same person is being upgraded. For instance, Rich Still is going from a 14 to a 16.
Right.
But he's doing his current job.
Plus.
Patty Shemko. her position. I'm losing her position within the grant. She's getting a promotion from 14 to a 17, but I'm not backfilling their positions. Right. Somewhere down at the end of the ladder, I lose one position, headcount. So in essence, I'm consolidating positions. Right. It wasn't in addition to what they're performing.
Yeah. Hi, thank you, Larry, for coming down. Appreciate it. Do you have so we understand some of these 19 positions that are being eliminated or that won't be filled, either because people mm-hmm. left or mm-hmm. there are a few layoffs. Larry, do you have a number as to what that savings is for the 2011 budget for the 19 less fewer positions in transportation? Is there a rough number for that?
I mean, I can get that for you. I don't have it off the top
of my head. If you can.
Yes.
Because that tells us.
It was like something around $3 million, if I remember. $3 million? Around it's somewhere in that range. But again, you know, we calculate a lot for Larry. He has all those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he can show 2010, you know, versus.
Yeah. And one other question, is there any savings that can be achieved by consolidating space? I mean.
Yes. Actually, DOT occupies the 9th floor and half of the 8th floor in Mount Vernon.
Right.
I've already moved up certain divisions from 8 to 9. That does involve a lot of infrastructure changes. For instance, the information age is still on 8 because it cost me a couple $100,000 to move them one floor because of the technology and all of the infrastructure is in place. But those that can actually move have already moved, so that I will have space available. My goal is to try to bring them into White Plains, the 36 people.
Right.
And therefore, I would have a floor and a half available in Mount Vernon that's been totally renovated. Each floor in Mount Vernon is around 8,200 square feet. And again, with next year's proposed budget, once the board adopts it, the county executive signs it, we will go through the endeavor of looking for space consolidation. As the board is aware, I've testified that in next year's capital budget, we've made a request for $2 million for relocation costs, consolidation, relocation. And that clearly is something that we'll be using because all the departments have been cut so thin on their operating budget. If we had to have them fund the relocation, you wouldn't move anybody. So again, you know, once this occurs in January, I intend to meet with all the commissioners of each department, go over their headcount and see what makes sense in terms of consolidation in space. Keeping in mind that essentially during the Spanel administration, we're out of a lot of rental space. And the rental space that we are in, most of them have a one-year notice for termination because you have to pay the rent anyway. And some of them have no termination. The ones that have come before the board that are over 5 years, in order to get the improvements as part of it, there is no cancellation on some of those leases. I'm sure you could cancel, but right now there is no market for that space. If in fact, you were going to vacate that space.
Is this a Mount Vernon space, county-owned space? Or
we own 100, first, yeah, we own Mount Vernon. It's been totally renovated. Every floor has been renovated. Matter of fact, the first floor has been renovated twice, social service. We're on the second phase.
Don't tell me that.
But
we spent a hell of a lot of money.
But it's really, the building's in great shape. We have a new roof, new water tower. We're doing some improvements over the weekend. We're working on the parapets next to the post office. The building's in really, really fine condition. It's a real nice building. As you know, a couple of years ago, we moved in the legal aid of Mount Vernon into the 8th floor space, which they presently occupy next to the conference room, and that's been a real good addition. It's got security, it's got police.
Well, you're hoping eventually to move everybody here, if you can.
Well, I think when we bought the Mount Vernon building, we spent a lot of money renovating that building. I don't know if there's a market if you move out of the building, quite frankly, but you know, we've improved the parking lot next to Metro North, so that facility is in really good shape. All the infrastructure is there. Every floor has been renovated, HVAC, blah, blah, blah. So it's a good building. And clearly there are some opportunities to consolidate from other rental space, particularly in New Rochelle. We still rent 450, we still rent 270, DEF is there. We still, as you know, the health department occupies a good portion of 145 Huguenot Street. DEF right now is in very expensive space at 270. They have a floor and a half, that storage room. Their employees are down to under 50, I think, next year. So clearly there's an opportunity to move them into cheaper space. That lease happens to have a one-year termination. I know we renewed
the
last.
So the Mount Vernon space is a possibility.
Well, I mean, the space that DEF occupies has a one-year termination notice. You just have to get 1 year notice. And we just renewed that a couple of years ago. So clearly there's opportunities. And we're looking at all leases. As you know, we track all the leases. We have all the termination clauses. So where there's an opportunity for the county to save some money and put people into county-owned space, clearly that's the direction we're going to move.
Legislator Jenkins and then Legislator Burton.
Thank you. And on the administrative and field operations from DOT and in public works, is there opportunities to do some more merging in that particular area? No, you may not have considered it at this point in time.
All right. Actually, in the field operations, if in fact I move DOT to White Plains, I'm going to move their shop, which is across the street in Mount Vernon, over to Lake Street. And some of those guys do have CDLs, so they could drive snow. And I would supplement some of their bus stop issues with some of my in-house staff, since we in fact fabricate the signs. So again, you know,
that's a good savings.
Given the fact that that you know, if we were to relocate some of the components, I have ready components that I could consolidate them with. And clearly, I'm just waiting for the physical location issue to be resolved, because right now they report to the people in DOT, and I don't want to move them to Lake Street when, in fact, they're still in Mount Vernon. So, yeah, I've already thought of those issues. In terms of the admin service, yeah, I could move them here. It doesn't really matter. I would just, they don't really work. They don't do the same function, so therefore there's no consolidation opportunities, but clearly I could move them into space here. It's administrative space. DLT does a lot of procurements, a lot more than DPW. Actually, I don't really have a person designated to do purchasing. I have a couple of people who split their time doing purchase recs for the Bureau. So, but keep in mind, they're procuring bus-related equipment as opposed to me procuring all kinds of other things that are not bus-related. So, so clearly, where there's an ability to consolidate admin functions, we've already looked at that. Other than perhaps one or two secretaries, which I would reshift some opportunities, there isn't a whole lot there in terms of additional savings that I could do in terms of headcount reduction. For those that don't know, A&C now has moved up to the fifth floor from the first floor. And again, the reason that we moved them up was twofold. First, I need to find space for Kim from tourism, because we're getting out of the tourism space on 222. And I needed to get her near the front door, because clearly tourism should be as close to the outside door as we could. So that's one reason the Board of A&C space is ideal. Actually, it's being painted. We're renovating it now. And it made sense for A&C to move up to the fifth floor, since they do all my bid openings. They do bid openings on my floor. They take all my contracts, so my guy ends up humping them up and down the stairs. So now they're right there. And again, you know, my admin division is now doing admin for DOT. We're also doing admin for IT. So we're doing, my hope is that that unit becomes the management, the whole process from procuring to bidding to awarding, it's all on the same floor. You just got to go to one window and you're all set. And that, it's worked out very well. They've been up since October 1st.
So that northeast court, Martine corner of the building on the first floor, that where that work is going to be being done, that's going to be tourism.
Yes. We've already laid out space for Kim, and she's coming. We've already notified the landlord. As you know, the 222 space, the rent with taxes is approximately a little over $90,000. And I know that she tells me that she collects hotel tax to support her operation. I think that's right. Really good, you know. So, but she is moving there, and she's already looked at the space. We've already laid it out for her, and she will be there approximately the second week in December. I need at least a week to room clean the space she's vacating for the landlord.
John, is Public Works going to provide them with some type of additional access to that corner, or are they going to continue to use the... there's a door that's deeper into the corridor that is being used now.
Yeah, actually, you know, Kim's big concern was the kiosk, the visitor's kiosk that she has over 222. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is, we've already picked out a site, as you know, when you come in to go to public safety to get your...
Right.
We're actually putting the kiosk right there, so that basically visitors don't need to get credentialed in order to come in. So she can, and if she needs a hot phone, I can always put a hot phone where you can call the office. So the reason I have her next to the turnstiles is that she could, public safety can call someone inside, they can just come right out if the person doesn't want to be credentialed to come in and get the information.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's worked out very well. Her only concern was the kiosk, and again, that's a perfect location right there.
If you just hold, legislative Burton's been waiting.
What is on that exact point? The number the number, because, you know, we've heard things over the years, the number of visitors that she's been getting in the past several years, because that's going to directly impact the, you know, how busy is that corner going to be? Has she told you, does she get 10 people a year, 1,000 people, who walks through that door?
It depends on who you talk to. Some say they've never seen anybody go to 222, but quite frankly, as you know, everything with tourism is done on the internet.
Right.
Primarily done with internet.
Okay. No, so it's not as if there's documented 5,000 visits a year.
Quite frankly, the likelihood of somebody stumbling into this building looking for tourist information is more likely than, you know, going somebody walking down.
Okay, I just want to tie them to you. Okay.
So, and perhaps you'll pick up extra clientele as they walk in to do other business in this building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The promotions that you suggested were, as I recall, two of them. Patty going to a 17.
Going to a deputy commissioner.
Yeah, and the other.
Rich Still is going from a 14 to a 16.
16, and that's it for promotions.
Yes.
And the.
Well, other than minor promotions, you know, from a 6 to a 7, you know, things just by civil service, by CSEA, if someone works out of title, mm-hmm. which they're doing at a higher level, I've got to pay them out of title. So next year, I've got the extra monies into the budget, so when the county executive says I can do this, I'll do it officially.
And now these fellows that you can be able to do it.
But the money's already been budgeted, you know, the budget director is well aware of the, I've given them many lists, so.
And for all this extra work, you were being paid how much additional?
I'm doing this for the love.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, one other area, Mr. Chairman, I have a concern on this consolidation, just a question. DOT and Public Works both do, you implement a lot, you know, you're just kind of carrying out the buses and make things happen. But there is a component, if I hear it, and I just want to make sure it doesn't get lost. And it has to do with the whole strategic planning. I guess you could argue countywide, but certainly within transportation, whether it's smart commute, whether it's, you know, what kind of transportation system we're looking at 20 years from now, you know, going to the hybrids, going to electric and natural gas, you know, all the planning options that the planning department does some, but in DOT, Tappan Zee Bridge and mass transit and all the court, but I mean, it boils down to strategic planning. So you have all the implementation, carrying out all our functions within DOT / Public Works / Department of Planning. Where do you, and maybe George, where do you see, you know, as a county as a whole, because these are the prime departments, other than the county board of legislators, where is the strategic planning taking place now or certainly in the future under this scenario?
It does occur in planning, because planning has a handle on most of the grants. But, you know, I think as all of the departments have downsized, there has been a lot more communication and interdisciplinary work between the different departments. The fact that, you know, John Hsu is now in charge of transportation and public works gives some flavor to that, you know, because it knows a little bit more about each discipline. So, but in terms of what you're going to, long-term planning, everything, that's the planning department's function. It's one of the reasons that, you know, honestly, at the beginning of the year, we looked at different departments and we were saying, you know, maybe we don't need a planning department. But the more we looked into it, there is a need for some of those very things that we're talking about, and that's where their focus will be as more of a core mission as opposed to a lot of other things they've been involved with.
Well, if I can, I mean, and that's fine, that's fair, but I just, within the organization table of DOT or DPW, DOD, hopefully issue of strategic planning, again, mass transit and all the potential things that are coming along, new technologies, who would like to know how that's going to be institutionalized somewhere.
The only thing I can tell you is that we're trying to change the culture a little bit so that things aren't just a department, you know, so I do this and then hand it off to John's department and then John hands it off to budget. We're trying to get the departments to be, and it's happening, quite frankly, due to the reduction in the workforce. It is forcing the departments to work more cooperatively and more together because, quite frankly, they're all shorthanded. And so I think, quite frankly, the overall vision and message is going to come from the top. It's going to come from the county executive through the department heads and putting them together, depending what the project is or the program is, to get them to working together so that it's, as I said, it's not an idea that somebody works on and dreams up, and then hands it to Public Works and says, now you make it work. And they say, well, you know, if you'd involved us from day one, we would have done this, this, and that, and it would be more realistic as opposed to coming up with something and then trying to hand it off to a department.
Okay, I would just say there's 3,000 counties in the country. There's 62 in New York State, and we have had, you know, DOT people focusing all these things. As everything gets merged, we don't have a Department of Strategic Planning. We have a planning department.
Right.
But over time, and this will come out over time, as you say, but I just think that's an important issue to keep, especially the transportation area. Things change.
Right.
And we want to know, I'd like to know, like the board wants to know, that someone is kind of thinking of where we're at.
The sub-regional program does not change. The sub-regional program includes three departments that attend all the meetings: planning, public works, and transportation. That function will continue.
Okay.
We, as you know, we contribute to the regional transportation plan, transportation improvement program.
That all is ongoing.
That's ongoing. We're funded for that. We need to continue that function, otherwise we're eligible for federal funds in the future.
Okay, good.
Any questions for Larry? Because we don't want to hold him up. If no one has any questions for Larry, so are you going to get us that?
I'll get the numbers for you.
Okay. Can we excuse him? Or?
Yeah.
Thanks, Larry. Right. We don't want to hold you up anymore.
Thank you.
As it relates to the law, which called to the law that we have proposed in doing that merger to do the consolidation between the departments, short of the suggestion of whether we change the name to Public Works and Transportation or something like that, because in your current org chart for Public Works, there is a transportation area, right?
Correct.
Which is basically for road maintenance now, right? But you know, you could fold it there you decided to do. Short of that, in reviewing the proposed local law, is there things that you or the administration has seen in that would be concerns as far as how to operate that?
I guess the answer is, I have not looked at it in quite some time. And the only thing I would ask is it's another week to review it. I don't recall there being anything starting.
Yeah. I don't think it
we tried not to. Every once in a while.
But I do think the idea of change of calling it the Department of Public Works and Transportation is fine. I mean, just combining.
Yeah, you could do that with the Department of Public Safety too.
One thing at a time.
That would make them feel better. And Marty, the only other thing I would suggest besides changing the name is I think the committee report should be expanded to talk about the fact that, you know, that the department, the transportation department, is being, I don't know if the word downsized is right, or being streamlined.
Well, I think you're kind of recognizing the reality.
Yeah, I think that's what the committee report should say, is that the proposed budget will show a decline in, you know,
Well, it's not a decline. It's just it advances in technology with
transfer
different
of
focus. The functions are just.
Well, you're not transferring the functions, really. You're.
No,
I mean,
what I'm saying is that you're cutting the number of positions. You're streamlining and you're making more efficient the operations. And this is to make the charter and the law consistent with the reality. That's really what we want to get to.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Just from the committee report perspective, I mean that's the thing that you're referring to seems to be a budget issue. I mean we actually proposed this well before the budget was enacted, well before the voluntary separation and state retirement incentive programs were set forth. So I'm just throwing that out there from a committee report perspective to say that it's consistent with what's going on in the real world. I think that would be, but the law itself, though, was there anything else, Mr. Chairman, that in the law that we think that we needed to do? And I think Mr. Orles asked that at least the administration had another opportunity to review.
Correct. And I don't know that Commissioner Shoes had a chance to review, because when this was drafted, the commissioner's office, the departments weren't consulted. I guess you guys had law draft this and.
Well, one of the things about the committee report, I think you have to be careful about, at the bottom of the first page, it says all of the bonding, capital projects, and grant and aid duties, as well as other management and oversight duties, can be effectively assumed. That's really not what's happening.
And it says, insert additional data.
it's really not what's happening. You are keeping those funky, because you need to keep those people. So I don't think we could say it exactly that way.
Yeah, I think this has to.
But it is being assumed by a new department.
Yeah, well, you could say that, but not, but it has to be stated a little. It sounds like, if you read that on the face of it, that the DPW's taken over all those functions and nobody's going to be around.
No one's going to be around from DOT, as opposed to just combining two departments.
Right. And streamlining the operations. Like you said, you're not going to have have one executive secretary, you're not keeping two,
one
for each department. And so that's where you would put this language I'm suggesting, that, you know, consistent with this proposal, you know, there are changes being made that will allow this to happen. And
well, this is good. I mean, we can go on to the next step now. John's right, and the request from the administration is reasonable. I mean, obviously, that, you know, one half of the legislative panel assembled here today is the committee which I chair, Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation. The Public Works piece and the transportation piece naturally are going to be concerned about, one, the state of our public works operation right now, and what is it really able to take on and sustain over the long haul, and what do we have to understand what do we need to do to ensure that happens, if that's the way we go. And of course, the transportation piece, our concern is that, fine, if we're going to move this into a different cost center, to the extent that the county is involved in transportation areas, public bus, airport, and what, to the extent that we are, to know that the objective is to continue on with these functions in these areas, but to ensure that they'll be handled, you know, adequately and sufficiently. We're at a point now, if we think this is a good thing to do, fine. Now we can address the legislation, and we have something to work from.
Yeah.
You know, at this point.
Is the plan that you will, if there's any written,
I get it to you before before next Monday. So if you want to act on it, guess you're gonna have to schedule a public hearing on this.
Right.
Yes,
right. So we can vote it out for a public hearing. Actually, we can vote it out for all purposes.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, somebody wanted fare increase analysis for MetroCorp.
We basically
Which I don't have
somebody
on,
asked that.
This is something that various people have asked for this. And basically, based on the MetroCard increase that's going to take effect December 30th, we will derive, and we have budgeted in the 2011 operating budget, an increased revenue of $1.6 million related to the MetroCard increase that MTA is implementing December 30th. And that's the sheet that I prepared, because basically it analyzes the media for 30-day unlimited and the 7-day. The base fare of $2.25 stays constant. We've already told the MTA that we are on board with the increase by virtue of the fact that had we not opted into the increase, they would have been unable with the number of barcodes on the MetroCard to be able to support our fare at the current MTA fare. So it was a situation where we had to opt in literally by virtue of the fact that they couldn't accommodate us with the existing fare structure had we not opted in. And clearly, you know, when we made the decision several years ago to join the MTA family with the MetroCard, we made a comment that, in fact, we wanted to have 40% of our riders actually go to the subway, to have them have a one fare structure. If, in fact, we were not able to subscribe to the MTA fare increase, we'd have to go to our own media in a matter of 6 or 8 weeks. Our passengers, a good portion of them that ride the subways, would have paid a double fare. So it would have been double whammy. It would have been a lot worse than going from $89 for the 30-day unlimited to $104. So the board, the various committees have asked for that, and we have included the $1.6 million additional revenues in the 11 operating budget. When you guys get the operating budget, you'll see that.
Okay, Chairman Jack.
Two things. One is that, and I think that was the wise choice, again, as we said before, because we understood that in order to do that, you would have to incur costs to do programming changes.
Correct.
For the MetroCard. So was it that it was not able to be done physically by the MetroCard, but if we did decide to keep something separate, A, we were going to have a negative impact for our customers, or that would have to pay double fares, and we would have to pay for reprogramming of our...
Well, keep in mind that we don't sell MetroCard. It's sold by the FTA.
Right.
So they would have sold the MetroCards for $104. If we opted to keep our own structure, they would just keep our profit.
Right.
Because they sold, we don't sell MetroCards.
And the second issue was that I know that we had requested, and what Harry Stanton was supposed to provide for us by September of this year was the analysis of the ridership and the routes, et cetera. That was part of what he was kept on to do from last year, from what when we understood that.
I have all the ridership information by route.
There was supposed to be an analysis of the ridership and the routes and for recommendations for this year. I'm just trying to remember exactly. Was that...
They do that routinely. They do that all the time.
But we specifically were supposed to get one back to Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation based on... So when we got to budget time now, so if we could get the latest one, whatever that is, because we were supposed to have... There was one that was supposed to be done by...
This is just by route? Passengers?
It was not only that, it was a complete analysis of all the ridership for the system, so that when we came up to budget time and we would need to make modifications or would potentially need to make modifications.
I will tell you that we have proposed service modifications in the 11 budget, and we have extensive analysis of what those service modifications entail.
Okay, and again, so if we can get that ahead of time for the analysis of the documentation, because one of the things that the legislators have, what happened last year in the process, Commissioner, is that we had routes be modified, and the legislators that were impacted weren't here the day that those modifications took place, and that was why we insisted that we would have a complete analysis of the entire system so that we would be able to make a reasonable judgment based on what your recommendations are, certainly in the budget process, that the legislators would be able to have the information in front of them, so they would be able to say, okay, you're recommending route X be modified, but we see in route Y an opportunity that you may not have seen that way, and then to go back and forth, and that's right. we actually added money into the budget last year to protect those routes.
In the service modifications for 11, we have identified the routes, and we also have a fact sheet per route of what that entails and where the substitute service can apply to soften the blow.
And we look forward to seeing that as far as the budget submission. What I'm referring to, Mr. Chairman, is the larger view of the entire system, because the legislature may have a different view than your recommendation. Because
so basically, what you want is all of the routes described in detail in terms of what it provides, what service it provides, what the population is, those kind of issues.
Right, because one of the things
that legislative district runs through, stuff like that.
Because one of the things that we talked about last time is that, as opposed to maybe modifying a line, we may make a decision that says we're going to charge 5 cents more to everybody, right? I don't know that to be the case. I'm just suggesting that we would have all those options for the board to be able to consider. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions for Commissioner Chu? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Helpful.
Thanks.
Thanks. Marty, no questions for Marty Gleason? Marty, just send me a draft of
John, the report. George was doing all the talking. You were doing it.
Okay. Just send me a draft of what you come up with, and I'll get back to you when we circulate.
Okay.
Thanks. We have two sets of minutes for...
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. We also have...
I only saw one set of minutes, though. Is it two?
There's one single page.
One's only one page. This was last week's meeting on this trend. We also have a request for which you have in your packet, for a waiver from Joe Stout. And I have a question about this. It's a waiver to be employed by Friends of Westchester County Parks. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder what his position is going to be. I mean, do they have a full-time...
No.
Employ people full-time? Or part-time? And what? Why would they employ somebody?
They need to come in here and explain that.
Yeah,
I certainly am not going to take a guess at it.
They will come to your committee.
Yeah, part of our examination of Playland and the entities connected to Playland and the performance of those entities obviously includes, Friends of Parks. And we really haven't reached a judgment on them currently or what their role might be prospectively.
Something strange. It's a strange relationship because
they run the golf course, drive the ranges.
He's saying it will not entail appearances before any department or agency of Westchester County government in relation to any contract case proceeding application in which I personally rendered services. But the Friends of the Parks are so close to the Parks and Rec.
Well, absolutely, and they, you know, and they serve as a, they have contracts with the county through the Department of Parks to operate certain concessions. We've been talking about Playland, and we know of their involvement at Playland with some of the concessions there.
So what, should your committee take this up? And
what is this?
Stats waiver.
Bill meets three times a week, a Monday anyway.
Joe Stout asked the waiver, asked for a waiver to be employed by straight to the Westchester County Parks. I don't, you know, it's kind of an odd thing that he's, it's not like he's going to a private company. He's going to an entity that's very closely tied to the Parks and Rec.
Right.
Right. So I think we want to know more about that, what that deal is.
Well, we could certainly have them in and ask the questions.
To be honest with you, I don't know what the role
is.
I didn't know that they employed anybody.
They do.
They do? They other do. Than through contracts. I mean, do they?
Okay.
We don't know. Well, speaking for, you know, there's
it says grant me a waiver to accept a position with a vendor who may have a contract with Westchester County. And then the next paragraph says the nature of this employment with Friends of Westchester County Parks. Do you view them as a vendor?
Yeah, because and it's not that they may, they do.
Well, they have contracts.
And they have for several seasons.
There may be that I think we need to conditional in because they're coming.
What do we need to know so we can get, you know, specific and ask him for this since
what the nature of his duties and responsibilities
will be. Because when he first initially asked about it, again, in the letter, that was what was clear. It was with an event. It wasn't Friends of the Parks, as far as I knew at first.
This is all I have. It says Friends of the Parks.
So what do we need to do? We need to get from him exactly what the role is?
What his duties and responsibilities will be.
And his compensation.
No. Well, which one? The duties and responsibilities would be more important, but how much he makes from doing that is kind of irrelevant to us. Right? Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily.
It's not a county. It's a private entity.
Make up the third. Right? Well, it's 501c3.
Right. Yeah, I'm not altogether sure I'd choose as a profit-making enterprise.
Do you want to know anything more in your committee?
Okay, let me just make sure.
I think what I would be concerned about is to the extent that we have oversight responsibility over parks and in turn Playland. This is an entity that has and conceivably will contract with the county through our department. This apparently is the chief operating position of this entity, so I think there may be a couple
questions.
Do they have
one now? There was someone who had that position. I'm not sure.
Okay, we were trying to get information on it. We couldn't get it.
Let me make sure I'm asking the right question that we can get back in writing from Mr. Stout. We're just trying to understand what the duties are, the specific job, et cetera.
Right.
Is that it?
Job description, duties, responsibilities, and perhaps some comment from him as to the what would be the nature of the contact with our department?
That kind of thing.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I have all the questions down so that we get the other thing. Just on that particular point, I'm just for Mr. Chairman on the for Public Works that there was an item on ANC that I'm not sure everyone saw, which was an extension. A request to amend the contract with the Boardwalk Restaurant, you know, also known as the Tiki Bar, to add for them to secure an additional 5,000 square feet of space. And the question we have right now, just so it's on our record, is that the question that we asked was relative to the RFP process. Why would we be entering into an extension of a current lease until after the RFP process?
That interior space too.
It's 5,000 square feet of space of additional. So it's another building.
I had some questions from people in Rye that I happened to be sitting with at a dinner. It's not my district, so Judy doesn't get mad that I'm raising. Who are concerned about the Tiki Bar using Boardwalk space and spilled out onto the Boardwalk without paying anything.
This is the big concern, because when you look at the physical location of the building, the space that you'd be expanding onto, if it's not boardwalk, you're setting up tables on top of the water.
Unless they got somebody who's going to walk on the water.
And just so you know, I mean, it's for another quote unquote another $70,000 of total fees for that till 2014. But the real question again, since they have the RFP process right now, you know, why would you enter into an agreement now until after you had your results and we had some analysis? But I wouldn't.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because you have two branches of government now. The executive branch is looking at the future use of the park. We're looking at the future use of the site and the park, and so before we have answers to those questions, there seems to be a commitment going on here to tie into a certain number of years part of the park for a certain use. So I think you're absolutely right. I think it's something that's a little bit premature.
Just want to bring that to you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have three appointments to move in.
Mr. Chairman, the Subcommittee on Appointments met and recommends the appointment of Stuart Jerome Valente to the Parks Recreation Conservation Board, Walter Matisic to the Board of Ethics, and Joseph Olnick to the Emergency Medical Services Board.
Yes, second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, none. Motion to adjourn legislation.
So moved.
Motion second. To adjourn Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. Meetings adjourned.
John, we have another meeting at 3?
3 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Well, I think it's going reasonably well. I don't know. Did you go to
Can you sign those, please?